morning. Who's feeling it this morning? Who's feeling it? A few people. Yeah, it's Wednesday. Wednesday. It happens. All right, we missed an animal, by the way, with that game. All right, who's guilty of this? Who has sat around in their free time when they thought they were by themselves and practiced making farm animal noises? Anybody? Seriously? Oh, wow. I feel insecure now. Okay. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure everybody has done this. And then I stand in front and admit it, and all of you are like, nah. I'm better than you, is what you just all said to me. Yeah, probably. Probably. All right, give me your best sheep noise, please. Okay. Now, what's the difference between a sheep noise and a goat noise? Anybody? I thought you said you never practiced. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I sat in the car just thinking to myself, what's the difference between a sheep noise and a goat noise? Just meh or meh. Just like, just a little bit. How do you know? It's just so fascinating. All right. Anyway, noises, sheep, fantastic. Guys, do you remember the movie Sandlot? Classic, right? Sandlot, anybody? All right. For those of you who don't, classic story, right? This guy moves into town. He's got, like, absolutely no friends, no skills, and it's a coming-of-age story wrapped around this mistake that they made, right? So they get this, they run out of baseballs, right? Because they keep hitting them over the fence, and there's a gigantic dog behind the fence, and they're terrified to go there. So the guy, completely not knowing anything about baseball, grabs a Babe Ruth baseball. Oh, right? And nobody realizes that it's a Babe Ruth baseball, and so they pitch it, and they hit it, bam, knock it right over the fence. And they're like, no big deal, right? We just don't have a baseball. And he's like, no, it was my dad's baseball. And they're like, so? This guy named Babe Ruth signed it. He doesn't use Babe Ruth. I forget the great Bambino. Oh, yeah, some Ruth lady. Some Ruth lady. Baby Ruth. The great Bambino. No! Right? So the rest of the movie is basically them trying to get to this baseball. And they concoct so many different ways, right? They're building stuff. They're hanging kids over the fence. They're doing everything they possibly can. And then it all comes to this climax at the very end where they decide, I'm going to jump in, and they're going to have their super fast guy just take off with this baseball. And he does that, right? Now imagine if they had done the right thing right away and knocked on the door of the guy and just said, hey, can I have my baseball back? And you're like, that would have ruined the movie. Yeah, that so would have ruined the movie, because the whole movie was all of their craziness and trying to get this baseball back. But if they had just gone through the door, they would have gotten their baseball back in plenty of time. It turns out that when they did knock on this guy's door, they had a really good conversation, and the guy who was standing at the door was just kind of like, I have this other baseball I'm going to give you, and it has all of these names on it. And the baseball was by far more valuable than the one that they lost. And so it all works out. But if they had just gone through the door, things would have worked out well. Instead of trying to come up with all these different ways to try to get this baseball. Today we're going to talk about Jesus claiming to be a couple different things, all right? This morning we're going to talk about, he says, I am the gate. Another way of saying it is, I am the door. I'm the door, okay? I'm the gate. If you come through me, right? Come through me. And I want you to see that, and we can think of the Sandlot in that, because if they had just gone through the door, everything would have worked out quite nicely. So if you have your Bibles, go to John chapter 10, And we're going to see Jesus using a sheep metaphor, and he claims that he is the gate. The gate. The gate. Are you guys already there? It's a little quieter this morning. Man, you guys are so good. I'm impressed. You already read it? Oh, well then, all right, lunchtime. Yeah! Oh, wow. Thanks, guys. I don't want to hear Mark. I'd rather eat. That's cool. All right, well, let's talk about it. All right, chapter 10. He says, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the sheep, is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. And you know what? I'm going to give them a break here because I'm guessing the Pharisees weren't shepherds. Is that fair? The Pharisees studied. That's what they were supposed to do. They were to lead the nation of Israel in the truths of Scripture. So they studied and studied and studied. And they're like, okay, you're giving me some sheep information. How many people in here raise sheep? Out of curiosity. Wow, there was actually one, all right? So that's fantastic. The rest of us were like, okay, thank you for this metaphor that makes absolutely no sense to me. So Jesus, in verse 7, says, "Therefore Jesus said again, very truly I tell you," because he realizes they don't understand what he's talking about. He gets direct. He says, "I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate for the sheep." Now, I want to pause here for a second and give you some background information about sheep and sheep pens back then. Back in that day, they didn't really have a lot of wood, right? And you go, there were no trees? No, it's in Israel, okay? It's kind of desertish. Wood is really, really hard to come by. So what would they use to build a sheep pen? Well, they would use natural rock formations to build a sheep pen. So it'd be like, here's a cave that's completely covered on all sides except for the opening. Or here's a bunch of rocks that we grabbed from the field and put them together. Now, those sheep pens didn't have doors. They didn't have doors. They weren't going to roll a rock up to put it in front of it. It's going to be really hard to move. So what did they do? Well, they had a guy who would literally, like, sit and lay in between in the door. And at nighttime, he would literally sprawl out like this so that if any sheep tried to get over him, what's going to happen? He'd feel it. And he'd be like, all right, they're coming in. So he is the gatekeeper. This guy is literally the gatekeeper, and sometimes it would be the shepherd himself, or sometimes they would hire a guy so that, like, five different flocks come in, and he just guards the opening. Nothing can get in, nothing can get out, unless the gatekeeper lets him. All right? The second thing that I absolutely love about this, and he talks about it before earlier in the passage, how the sheep know his voice. This is just a beautiful truth, okay? I have seen this happen with, like, a dad and a son. They say that in a crowd of, like, incredible noise, a son can hear his father's voice above all of the other voices. And I've seen this practiced, and it actually, like, works, right? You'll have a bunch of people yelling, and the son will go, "Dad," or the father will go, "Son," and just like, there's my dad. Sheep do the same thing. They recognize their shepherd. They hear the shepherd's voice, and they're like, that's my guy. That's my guy. I'm going after that one. And so you can have like 50 flocks of sheep, or probably not that much, but like five flocks of sheep in one pen, and the shepherd will come and all of his sheep will just start to follow him. He'll just call for him. Like, sheep! And they'll be like, okay, that's my guy. That's my shepherd. I'm following that guy. And so you have these things playing out in this passage. And so now we're going to see two different sets of characters. This is important. Verse 8. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. He says it twice. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Now, if you were a sheep, what would you want? Food? Absolutely. Food?
Shepherd.
A shepherd? Yeah. Because what's the shepherd going to do for you?
Protect you.
He's going to This is good. You guys act like you know sheep really well. They need protection. Sheep have like zero protection on their own. Right? A sheep can't protect itself. It doesn't have anything. It's kind of slow. It's got really thick fur, so it gets stuck in stuff. It has like zero intellect, all right? Sheep are not smart, okay? I have seen pictures, you can YouTube them when you get home, of sheep falling into like a ravine, right? And a bunch of people work to get this sheep out, and then what's the first thing the sheep does when it gets free? I'm back in! Help me! Like, sheep aren't smart. They have zero protection. So they need security. They need someone to watch over them. They need someone to keep them safe. They need someone to show them where to go, when to go, and how to go about it. They need someone to protect them from all the dangers that go on around us. Guys, we live in a very, very insecure place. Do we not? Do you feel the insecurity that comes from living in the world that we live in? Think about the most insecure times in your own lives. How about every single time you go to social media? What if someone says something about me? What if someone posts something? Because we can't help it, right? We see something, we're like, oh, that's funny. We like it. So now 100 more people see it. But what if that thing wasn't nice to you? That's scary. People go to bed like unable to sleep because they're afraid something's going to happen on social media overnight about them. We're just so insecure. And then you post something, and what do for the next like 8 hours? You check it. Why? What if my friends don't like it? What if it doesn't show the correct side of my face? It's this one, I think. I can't remember. It's this one or this one. It's my nose curves just a little bit, so it's peeking that right side. What if it's the wrong side of my face? What if people think it's stupid? What if I go into the cafeteria and I have no idea where to sit because my friends aren't there? That is terrifying. I still remember that, right? My freshman year in high school. I still remember going into the cafeteria like, what if my friends don't have the same lunch as me? Because we had three lunches, right? It was kind of a bigger building, so it was like A, B, or C. And it's like, what if I get B and all my friends are C, and then I don't know where to sit, and then I'm just going to stand there with my food and just eat it like this? And there was terrifying. Guys, it's real, okay? Like, the insecurity that you guys feel is 10 times worse than when I was your guys' age because of social media. And it doesn't get much better. I'm sorry to say this. It doesn't get much better once you get out of high school. The insecurity is still going to be there. Social media just, man, we feel like we have to be on all the time. We have to put our best life forward all the time. It's awful. We want security. We want peace. We want to know that it's going to be all right. We don't want to live in this constant state of social pressure and fear, this anxiety. We are in the most anxious-ridden society that has ever existed in the history of mankind. We're so anxious. We have all of this knowledge, and we don't know what to do with it. So where do we go for our security? Well, this passage gives us two different places that we typically go to. The one is the thief. I think it's going to come up there as the next slide. The thief. And actually, there's only one really, really bad guy out there, okay? And he's got all the different ones. And that's Satan, and he's very real. Okay, he's very, very real. And so he tries to trick us into going to different places to find our security. And he's not really all that, I don't know, creative. I'll put it that way. Like he is, but he isn't, because he uses the same three things in every single generation. He tries to trip us up by telling us that we can find our security outside of Jesus. And so he says, you can find your security in money. If I just have all the money, if I can just have all of this money, then I'm going to be safe. Then I'm going to be secure. People aren't going to bother me because I can just pay to shut them up. Right? Nobody messes with the rich guy. But what do we find? We find that the richest people are the most insecure people of all. Because they got all of this stuff now, and they're afraid that they're going to lose it. So they're constantly watching to make sure they don't lose what they have. And they become even more insecure, more insecure, more insecure. Oh, money doesn't deliver. Money comes, and money goes. Sex, that's a big one. Man, if everybody's just attracted to me, man, if I'm just good looking, things are going to go well for me, right? If I can just have intimacy with as many people as possible, I'm going to feel better about myself because people like me. That doesn't deliver either. That leaves people just absolutely terribly broken. Man, if I can just figure out who I am sexually, then everything's going to be okay. And yet suicide rates for people who struggle with transgenderism, whether they've gone through with the procedure or not, is unreal. It's like 80% try to take their own life at some point. It doesn't matter if they transition or not. It hasn't changed anything. It's terrifying stuff. And yet we think if we can find our true sexual identity, we're going to feel secure. It hasn't happened, and I don't think it's going to. Power, right? Power is another one. Man, if I'm in charge, well, then everything's going to be fine for me, right? If we just switch the balance, the people who have the power now, if we can just take them out and put me in power or someone else that I trust more in power, then I'm going to feel secure. Half the nation panics every single election. Because if it's the guy you didn't want, the girl you didn't want, you're like, oh no, what's the next 4 years going to be like? I'm so insecure. We put our security in power. None of these things work. What does Scripture say happens to people who come saying that they're going to offer security? They're going to come and they're going to steal and they're going to kill and they're going to destroy. And if we try to put our security in these three things, that's exactly what's going to happen to us eventually. It's going to kill us. It's going to destroy us. It's going to steal us away from where our security actually could be. I would say as we get older, another one comes into play, and I don't know if it pertains to you guys or not, but I think health has become a new one, right? It's like, well, people live to like 80. So if I'm healthy at 45, 50, 65, man, I can extend my life and then I'll feel good about myself. That hasn't worked either. COVID pretty much destroyed that idea. So where are we then? Where can I find my sense of security? Well, I think it's pretty obvious, isn't it? I do want to say one more thing before we switch that slide. I'm sorry, I said that a little too late. That's my bad. I want to say this. Money, sex, and power are actually really, really good things. God created all three of them. So where's the deception? The deception is in thinking that that's where your security is. Money's good, okay? It's a gift from God. It's a blessing. It's a good thing, okay? Sex, God's the one who created it, okay? He meant for people to have it in the right context. The third one, power, another gift from God. Without power, we can't get anything done. So God grants power when he wants something done from us. Those are three good things, but they can't make you feel safe and secure. They don't have that ability, and they're not supposed to. So where does our safety and our security come from? Well, it 100% has to come from Jesus. Life in Jesus is secure. It's the only place where you can find security. Jesus is the only way into God's family, and God's family is secure. God's family is secure. I want to go back to the passage that we studied, but I'm going to use a different version of it. And I want you to see just how secure our life is in Jesus Christ. So I went to the Message. Okay, this is kind of Eugene Peterson's understanding of the scriptures. And so he writes this. He writes, Jesus told the simple story, starting, I think, in verse 6. But they had no idea what he was talking about, so he tried again. I'll be explicit then. I am the gate for the sheep. All those others are up to no good. Sheep stealers, every one of them. But the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for. Don't we long and desire to be cared for? Money, sex, and power can't care for us. They don't have that ability. Jesus has that ability. He cares for you. The second part will freely go in and out. Think about the safety in that. I can just go out. I can just trust that I can go over here and get the food that I need, and I can go back and I can do it safely without having to worry about any cares or anything. That is what Jesus wants to offer us as the gate. That's what he wants to give us. And then we have a third one here, and find pasture. Again, this is food. This is nourishment. And we talked about that. Jesus is the bread of life. Only he can actually fill the deepest desires. Everything else is a lie. Everything else is a lie. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came. So that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Money, sex, and power can't give you that. Only Jesus can give you that. He can give you the eternal security that you need. All right, so how do we get this security? How do we begin to feel secure? I have a few things I want to give you here. I put two up there. One of them I added in late. All right, first one. You want to feel secure? Number one, remind yourself of the truth. A lot. This is a daily battle. If you want to feel secure, you have to remember that Jesus is the gate. He's the one who can make me feel secure because you're going to feel temptation to put something else ahead of it. You're going to get onto social media and you're going to start to feel more and more insecure, and you're going to have to go back and remind yourself of the truth My security is not in my social media profile. My security is in Jesus Christ. And you have to remind yourself of this over and over and over again. I am in God's family, and God's family is secure. I am in God's family, and God's family is secure. Number two, train yourself to hear the voice of the Lord and obey his call. This one's harder. To actually hear the voice of the shepherd, because the shepherd wants to lead you to safe pasture. He wants to do this. But if I can't hear the shepherd calling, how am I going to know where to go? So what do you do? How do you practically learn to hear his voice? Go to Scripture. Go to Scripture often. Take as much time in the Scriptures as you possibly can, because you'll start to hear a couple things. You'll hear the heart of Jesus, and you'll start to recognize, that voice that I'm hearing right now, that can't be Jesus. Jesus doesn't talk to me like that. Jesus doesn't talk to me like that, right? And so you'll start to pick up on what is actually Jesus leading you, and what is the world and all of these deceptors, these people trying to climb over the rocks. Which one's Jesus? Listen to his word. That's his voice. He'll speak to you. Another very practical one, pray. Pray, 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 pray. Prayer is, yes, speaking to God, but it's also listening. In your prayers, ask God a question, and then actually, like, take 10 seconds to listen for an answer. I think you'll be amazed at what will start to happen. You'll start to have this sense, right? It's not necessarily a voice, but it's just this sense within you that's like, I feel like, and it's not even feel, I don't have a word for it. I just know that this is what the Lord is telling me to do. And then you can confirm it with Scripture. Yeah, that's right. That's something the Lord would say. As opposed to, that's not what Jesus would tell me. And then I added a third one, which I think is so pivotal. Pour out your heart often. Pour out your heart often to Jesus. Yeah, it's not up there. Sorry, guys. I added this one really late. Pour out your heart to Jesus. What does a sheep do when it gets in trouble? What does a sheep do when it feels insecure? What does it sound like? Bah, yeah. Yeah. Bah, bah, black sheep, have you any wool? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Three times full. Sorry, I don't know if you know that one. My mom told me that one. All right, it's, yeah, okay. They scream. They shout, ah, right? They're crying out to the shepherd. I'm in trouble. I am in trouble. With all of their little heart within them, they're crying out, someone come save me. Come save me. I've done it again. I jumped in the same ravine I was in yesterday. And doesn't that happen to us all the time? I got right back into the sin I was in yesterday, Lord. Help! I need you. Pour out your heart. Think about 1 Peter 5:7, which says, cast all your anxiety upon the Lord. Why? Because he cares for you. He will actually come running after you. He will search you out. There is something that just, man, fills your heart with peace when you can cry out to Jesus and know that he hears you. And then what does he want to do? He wants to give you peace. He's going to replace that insecurity with peace so that you don't have to feel as afraid. I want to close with this verse, which I think is so powerful to us. John 16:33. Because we really see his heart as the gatekeeper, the one who wants to keep us secure. So Jesus has told his disciples a lot of things. He's just told them that he's going to go away. And in the course of his instruction, he said, hey, man, you're going to get persecuted. If I'm going to get persecuted, you're going to get persecuted. All right? This is reality. Times are going to be tough. Times are going to be tough. Okay? At one point he said, you know, the foxes have dens and something else has, moles have hills or something like that, and the Son of God has no place to lay his head. You're going to experience some hard times in your life. But he says, I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Man, we don't preach that enough. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. Take heart. I know you feel insecure right now. I know things aren't going the way that you had planned. I know it doesn't feel good right now, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And I'm the gatekeeper. I got you. Take heart. I got you. When you start to feel insecure, which you will, Jesus is the gatekeeper, and praise God that he is. He's the only place where you're going to find true security. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are the gatekeeper. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord, that we can be secure within your presence, that we can know your voice and recognize it above all the enemies who try to tell us that we can find security somewhere else. Teach us to hear your voice. Teach us to recognize when it's you calling or when it's a deceiver calling. Help us to remember to pour out our hearts to you when we feel that trouble coming upon us, when we feel insecure, when our friends have said something that just strikes us to the heart. And fill us, Lord, with your peace. That's your heart for us, and that's our desire. May you receive all the glory for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. All right, so I believe you have cabin time.